So good. It is great to see you. Some of you have been waiting for 3 years for God's promise for us to get into this place. 3 years ago, he promised us. And how many of you have been waiting 3 years for this, right? Some of you have been waiting 3 months to get in here. My wife and I have been waiting 10 years to get in here. You've been waiting for the church? Well, so have we. Some people have been waiting for the church their whole life. 10 years ago, my wife and I were sitting in a parking lot 2 blocks down here in Sawmill City, while a former place where we worked just down the hill was trying to determine our future. And while we were sitting in there, what was happening down the hill was not happening to determine my future, because what was happening up the hill was determining my future. And you've been waiting for 3 years for God's promise. My wife and I have been waiting 10 years for our promise. While we were sitting in that parking lot, we were saying, okay, God, what are you going to do? 3 months of just waiting, 3 months of not working, 3 months of praying, waiting for outcome to figure out what God had. And God spoke to us in the car in that parking lot and said, you're going to be right across the street at the time the Wadhams Banquet Center, then the Angry Bull, and now nothing. And God brought us full circle. While other people said it'll never happen, God said it would happen. While other people said you don't have any credentials, you don't have a church, you don't have a congregation, you don't have a building, you don't have an income, God said, I've got a promise for you, and you don't even know it yet. You're going to be across the street, you're going to be down the road, and then you're going to be 2 blocks away, and I'm going to give you an ark that you did not build. I'm going to give you a congregation from nothing. I'm going to give you a building. I'm going to give you a place to minister, and I'm going to give you a people to walk to God with. And so you've been waiting for 3 years or 3 months. We've been waiting for 10 years. And so welcome, church. Because my God fulfills every promise that he has ever made to anybody. He's a good, good God. Man, I tell you, it's been exciting. I have been here round the clock. There are people we're going to thank next week. You're here. Listen, there are so many people we want to thank. It's hard to say. There have been people here doing construction literally around the clock, Steve. And I know that. We'll talk. I'm going to make them nervous now. Get ready. That's all I'm going to say. There are so many who've been here sacrificing and serving. There have been people here mopping. There are people been giving. There have been people building. There have been people praying. And it's funny, if you're ever around here, cars drive in and out of this parking lot the last several months. And they drive in, hey, where's the cake shop? And I love it, because I'm in here one day, and Steve goes running out. I go, where are you going? He goes, watch this. And he goes out. He goes, hey, the cake shop's gone, but we're going to have a church here. Come on back. He goes, that's what I do. I mean, everybody, they drive in here. Steve's running out and getting them, right? I got to tell you, you'll love this. He didn't know I was going to share this morning, but I have to tell you, I'm watching him, and he's doing this, and so I'm going out too. I see people, and I'm telling you, everybody for the cake shop, I'm thinking, this guy's got to be doing pretty good. And then people are going, hey, where do I get my haircut? What happened to Beige's? You know, well, they're downtown. God bless you. People come in, hey, where's the Compassion Center? Yeah, that's what they call it, the pot shop. Right next door here, they were doing $1 million a year. I talked to a guy who knew the attorney for him, and he says, yeah, they were doing $1 million a year. I thought, Lord, I see a youth fundraiser. I have a resume. It's got 7 years experience. I'm in the wrong business. If you're new here today, it was nice having you visit Grace. This is who we are. If you haven't been back in a while, welcome back. You've been missing out. People drive in and out, you know, looking for the pot shop. He runs out to him. Hey, it's not here. The Compassion Center's gone. But we have a church. Come on back. So if you're here, I want you to stand. No. If you were one of those, So we have these little things going, these little bets going, just kind of for fun. And one afternoon, we're working, and I see a $40,000 SUV pull up. And it's an older couple, probably in their late 60s, early 70s. And he goes, hey, I got this one. And so we made a little kind of wager. I said, I'll bet you it's Beige's. Are they looking for haircut? And he says, no, I'll bet it's the cake shop. Well, never judge a book by its cover. He goes out to the car. They were looking for the compassion center. I'm not making this up. True story, right? I'm telling the truth. I'm not preaching. I'm telling the truth here. This is honest stuff here. They roll down the window and marijuana. Do you know where the compassion center is? There, grandma ain't baking cookies. They're baking in the car. True story. If you know what I'm talking about, shame on you. But at least you're in church. And I thought to myself, no wonder why the guy is doing so well at the cake shop. He was right next to the pot shop. Because Steve walks in after this, after the windows roll down, he comes in a little slower and goes, I'm hungry. I'm sorry. Oh, it takes me back to old times. B.C. Oh, I'm thankful for A.D. You know what, though? Here it is. They're looking for something. They're all looking for something. They're looking for the church. They just don't know it. They just don't know it. Everybody's looking for the church. God help us, everybody is looking for the church. And God help us because maybe the church hasn't awakened yet. Because if they're looking for the pot and they're looking for the cake, they're looking for the party, we need to give them the praise. Because when the praise is bigger than the party, they're going to find the church. God help us become what acting normal should look like. And acting normal ought to be this. When you roll down the windows, praise rolls out because what's happening is God is doing such incredible things. When they roll down the window and they say, can I help you? I'm looking for the church. That's the compassion center. I'm looking for something to eat. And man does not live by bread alone, but on every word of God. You can keep eating the bread and you're hungry, but you get the word of God. Listen, you got to have bread. Bread is good, but the word is greater. Luke says it in the book of Acts this way, as we act normal. Jesus is coming along and Jesus says, you've been baptized with water, but hey, hold on. Water is great, but fire is greater. Because you're about to get baptized by the Holy Ghost. You see, when I got saved, I was getting baked. When I got saved, I had the water baptism. I got saved. I got baptized. And Jesus said, wait. And the reason I say that is because everybody's looking for the church. And maybe we need a little bit more in the church to wake up. Water is great. And I'm glad you found church. But fire is greater. Normal, listen, greater is normal. Not great. You say, hey, I got my religion. I'm glad. I found my religion. When I went back to college, I looked for church. I looked for greater. Because when I got saved, it transformed my life. I was in a little itty-bitty church in December on college break. Welcome back, college students. It is great to have you here. I was on break. And a pastor led me to the Lord. I walked out. I dumped out my baking. I dumped out the Colombian gold. I went back to college 2 weeks later. And when I went back 2 weeks later, I'm looking for a church. I'm looking for greater. I'm looking for what just happened in my heart. I had a fire in my heart. I wanted that fire in my soul and everything else. And so I told my friend Mark. And Mark was a baker. I'm telling you, he was a baker. He just, and he wasn't saved, but he says, I'll go to church with you. He was the only one who hung out at that point with me. And we went to a church. I remember going to this place, and there was maybe maybe, I don't know how many people in there. There was maybe 20 people in the church. 18 of them had blue hair. We sat in a pew. You know what a pew is? Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll just leave it at that. My mind's going in the wrong direction. If you're sitting in your pew, you're in the wrong church. We're sitting in the pew because the only thing alive about that church was we knew we were the only visitors. And when the pastor said, "We have visitors!" Right there. "Would you please stand up and say a few words?" To which we did. And then walked right out the doors. There was no way I was going to a place like that. And it was dead. We looked for a church. I looked for the church. And there was no fire in the church. There was religion in the church, but there was no fire in the church. There might be water in the church, but I was looking for the fire. See, Jesus said, "I promise you this, wait for the gift." And that's what I want to do. So I remember going a couple weeks later as a ball player in college on our floor as football and baseball players where our dorm room was. In another dorm was the basketball players. I remember going over and seeing Freddie Franklin from Waterloo. He was a point guard, really cool brother on the team, and we were good friends. And I went over to Freddie's room. There was a bunch of guys in there, a bunch of jocks, and they're all getting high, which was very customary. And I'm sitting there, and I'm telling them all about my Jesus moment. I'm telling them all about my new life in Christ. And Freddie lights up a blunt, a fatty. He lit up a marijuana joint. And as he did this, he took a big drag as I'm telling about Jesus in my life. And he says, "I'm a Christian too. Here." And in that moment, I guess water was okay. Because it was okay to be a Christian and just keep being who you were. And I remember getting as high as a kite. I remember getting stoned. And going back to my apartment or my house, rental house, with my buddies at 412 High Street, I know. But that's where we live, 412 High Street. And I just remember thinking, nothing has changed. And I remember sitting in my Cordoba car in this unattached garage, crying my eyes out, thinking, "God, nothing has changed. God, help me." You know what I'm talking about? I thought I found the church. And I did. I found the church. And here's what I found. I found the water, but I didn't find the fire. I found religion. I didn't find a relationship. Because we love the water because water is nice. But we don't like the fire because the fire burns. And if we let the fire burn us, it might hurt. But the fire burns to only have gold left over. The wood and the straw and the stubble get burned off. And we are scared to get into the fire. And I got to tell you, don't be afraid of the fire. Jesus says, the water is great, but the fire is greater. And we ought to have the fire in our lives. And we like to have God come into the living room. We don't like him in the bedroom. We like Jesus giving him our Sunday mornings, but we don't want the Monday mornings. We like the water, but we're afraid to play with fire. I like Jesus being in the resident, but I don't want Jesus as my president. And all of a sudden, I find myself sitting in the premises instead of standing on the promises. And that's what happens. God help us walk from the water and get into the fire. I want the fire of God. I want the fire of God. I want normal to be where God is just moving in our spirit. God is moving in our church. God is waiting for the church. Guess what? This at 4731 is not the church. The church showed up this morning. Thank you, church, for coming to 4731. The church has arrived. Now the church needs to go with the fire into the world. Because my phone rings off the hook. And this week my phone rang off the hook. Help me. I'm dying. The doctors told me I have between 1 month and 5 years. I don't know, but I'd like you to do my service. Can we meet next week? I'd like you to do my service, Pastor. I respect you, and you speak the words of life. My phone rang off the hook, and a couple of days ago, my phone rang, and a grandparent, I haven't seen these people for 25 years, they called me and said, our grandson came to your youth program 2 years ago. You have a great relationship. Right now, he just texted us and said goodbye. He's got a gun to his head. The SWAT team, the police team, Channel 2, 4, and 7 of Detroit are surrounding the house. He's scared the cops are going to kill him. Would you call the police and talk to them? I called. They put me through to the negotiator. I said, I know this young man. I have a great relationship with him. He's scared to death. If he puts a gun down, you're going to shoot him. He has no hope. Why doesn't he have any hope? Because we live in a society and in a community where heroin is dominating our young and old people. Depression is eating people up. Why? Because they're driving through the parking lots at 60, baked, because the church is asleep. Because we've got water, because we're afraid to play with fire. I'm inviting you to the mountain, folks. I'm inviting you to the fire this morning. I'm inviting you to something greater. I remember playing with fire right away in church. And I remember getting the Holy Ghost in my life and just saying, God, I surrender all. I got high with Freddie. I got high with Mark. I got high with other people. I spent a year of my Christian life getting high, getting stoned, repenting. Getting high, getting stoned, repenting. Getting high, getting drunk, repenting. I spent a year of my life that way until I tried to put that Cordoba into an overhead pass on Interstate 29 at 3 in the morning at 70 miles an hour. I would rather have been dead than to know I only found water and I don't know the fire. I just didn't even want to live anymore with the frustration of who I wanted to be and who I was. Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about? I don't think you're getting it. I need three young men volunteers here. I need three guys to help me out. I need three guys. One, two, three. You three guys, come here. There. Sorry, I got Larry. I got Curly. Not true. Come here. Come on up here, gentlemen. Give them a hand. Good to see you, man. Good to see you. Good to see you. Whoa. Oh, yes. Yes. Wow. Look at you. What a handsome young man you are. Jaden, how old are you?
I am 16.
16? Okay, you're going to represent. Look at this guy. Okay, they all represent the same person. They're going to represent one person at three stages of their life, okay? Okay, so we're going to let you be the volunteer of, man, this is what you guys want to be when you grow up. This is it. This is like perfection. You're going to represent everything they ever wanted to be. Come on over here. So he says, sweet. So stand there. This is what they want. This is what I want to be in my life. This is what I desire to be. Okay, I need one of you guys to be the guinea pig. Thanks for stepping up and volunteering. It looks like I saw you hold your hand up first. Come on over here. Okay. Wow. How you doing, Gary?
Pretty good.
How old are you?
17.
17. There you go. Isaiah, how old are you?
19.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. Come on over here with me. So here's what happens. I get the water. This is the beginning of my life. This is our beginning. This is where we start with Christ. We get the water baptism. This is our life. And then we see what God has for us down there. So you're going to represent salvation. You're going to represent sanctification. You're going to represent glorification. Look at that. Look at that stud down there. That's who we want to be like. Jaden, you are perfection. I bet you probably heard that from your mom. You're perfect. Listen, just for the sermon, can you nod? Yes. There you go. Okay, so here's what we want to be, guys. We want to move towards that. We see what we can be. We see just living our lives for God and just fullness, complete surrender, just awesomeness, okay? All right. So we're going to take our first step from our beginning walk, and we're going to start this thing. And here it is, this journey towards what we see we can be, okay? So go ahead and just start that journey. Okay, go ahead. And go ahead, just start that journey, because we know something. We start that journey, and Romans 7 says the things I want to do, I can't do. We know that we have obstacles, right? We have obstacles in our lives. There are things and there are people. Listen, there are things and people in our lives that are keeping us from achieving what we want to do. Things and people, preventing us rather than encouraging us to get to where we want to be. Go ahead and take a step. There you go. That's a good step. And you have growth. This is called sanctification. I'm being sanctified. I'm moving into the fire, man. I'm walking into glory. We call it entire sanctification. I'm not walking in the water. I'm walking in the fire. I'm moving on from old things, and I'm moving into new things. Take another step. And then, you know, sometimes we want to get there and take another step, and we make our way. And every so often we have these obstacles, these struggles, and we struggle with those. But when we have a victory, we take another step. This is the struggle that we get frustrated with. We know who we want to be, and we keep making our way. Now watch, we get to a point, go ahead and turn around. You're making your way that way. We get to a point where we get maybe like right around here, and we say, oh, I could see it. I'm becoming that person. I am so close. I can almost reach out. I can almost reach out. Now here's the struggle. We can almost reach out, but because this is perfection, we'll never get there this side of heaven. And our frustration thinking that we got to go to church perfect, it's never going to happen. Until we get glorified in heaven, we will get to this person that we see. Okay? This is promise. This is a promise. This is a promise. But our frustration, watch, go ahead and reach out again. And you can see, and you're like, man, I just so want to be that. That's who I want to be. Now, our frustration and struggle is, this is about as close as we can get. And because of this, here's what we do. We tend to focus on the struggle. And I want to encourage you today. Turn around. Turn around, Isaiah. Look. Look. The growth behind us is greater than the struggle in front of us. Amen? The growth behind us is greater than the struggle in front of us. And we don't get that. Can you bring that up here right under your feet? Just bring that up here real quick. Yep, bring that up. Thanks, Justin. And you don't understand it because we do this. We ripped this out of our pantry in our kitchen today. I know. Just tear the house apart. These are the marks of all of my children. Because over all of the years, they're all grown but one. They're all out of the house but one. Thank God. But here it is, all of their marks, all of their different ages, and not just our kids, they'd bring their friends over. We kind of raise other kids. I mean, I've got half the Webb family on here. Really? Yeah, I do. I mean, I've got Nick on here, and I've got, yeah, your daughter. I mean, it's because this is the growth. Now, we don't see it, but when Aunt Betsy comes over, she goes, oh, look how cute you are. You've grown so much. The last time I remember you, I was changing your poopy diapers. How embarrassing. Yeah, hey, I'm in college now. That's not, but right? Family members do that. Because they see it because they haven't been around you. We don't see it because it's inch by inch, but the growth happens. Now watch this. Jesus said you can get here. Even with the obstacles, he says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You don't have to live there anymore. You don't have to live there anymore, by the way. So you've moved up. You're here now. And you want to go there. And you say, I want to take a step closer. It's Sunday morning. It's the first church service. I want to move closer. And so you want to come closer. Okay, come on, go. Come on, go. Come on. Come on. Now watch this. The word that Jesus gives is this. You think you're going to move me? Truthfully. I like your confidence, but what is your plan to move me? Push. Okay? That's your plan? That's what we say in the world. There's something for us. I'll just push it. Easy now. The Baptist Church is looking for a few attenders. Okay, here it is. Jesus promises this. So you're not sitting on the premises. You didn't get a religion. You got a relationship. His promise to you is this. I will give you authority. I will give you power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That word is dunamis, dynamite. That's the promise. This is going to rock your world as we close this service. Watch this. So you have power. That word power means forceful, aggressive, explosive. Dunamis, power, is translated in English, dynamite. God is going to give you a dynamite power. Don't go for the knees. Just it's like a football player who's going to come through and just bust through the line. Now, you say, I'm going to give that a try. And you could give it a try, and you and I could have a tussle. But I want to give you something else, because Jesus says in another scripture, all authority has been given to me on heaven and in earth. Now, I'm giving you authority. But he says this, I'm giving you dunamis. I have exousia. It's a different Greek word. He's going to give you forceful, explosive, dynamite power. He says, I, though, have exousia. I have out of sovereignty power, exousia, out of sovereignty. In other words, here it is. I simply say the word and command it, and it will happen. Now watch. You don't have to fight with me in power alone. Okay? You can ask your Heavenly Father, or Jesus, your Savior, to use his exousia to help you with your dunamis. So while you're struggling with me, you can ask God to simply just take and have full authority and say, move, and I have to move. Does that make sense? Why don't you give these guys a hand? Go ahead. Thanks, gentlemen. Come here. Thank you. Here it is. Let me explain it to you this way, as just to close this whole thing out. You may not understand it. Pastor Justin shared a truth with me this week. I said, that's a perfect way to say it. On a football field, a football player has dunamis. Boom, 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 right? He's hoping to break through the line. Can I tell you who on the football field has more authority? Who has exousia? The referee has exousia. That football player might be bigger and stronger than the referee, but the referee has exousia power. And if you don't play by the rules, you will not have breakthrough. Breakthrough power comes from authority power. And you can't have breakthrough in your family and in your life and in your community until you understand full surrender of exousia, until you submit yourself to the referee, the one who makes the rules, and you play on that field. You will never have victory through the line of scrimmage. Now it makes sense, doesn't it? You see, the glory of my life and the power in my life is this. I have surrendered all of my life to the referee. He made the rules, and if I play by the rules, I have dynamite, dunamis power, and I have breakthrough. Chains fall, promises are fulfilled, scriptures. Welcome, church. Welcome, church. Welcome to dynamite power. So when I pray, and the negotiator texted me an hour later and said, just so you know, the young man put the gun down. We're getting him the help he needs. I just want you to know he's safe. And I said to the negotiator, I said, officer, as a pastor, just know this. I prayed for you that God would give you favor. I gave you some information that hopefully helped. And he said, and I said, what you do all in a day's work is save another life. Thank you for what you do. And he said, thank you for what you do. You see, there's dynamite power when you have authority power. And guess what? That's how it works. In your home, in your jobs, in your relationships, in your finances. It doesn't matter what it is. When you have submitted yourself to God, Jesus will remove the obstacles. But it's not to say you won't have a few bumps and bruises. You still got to put the pads on tomorrow morning. And you still got to get down in your three-point stance and say, dear God, I surrender my life. On this field, I play by the rules. And because if I love you, I will obey your commands. And I can ask anything in your name, and you will give it to me, according to John 14:26. God, I simply get down on the field. And I know it could be rough. But I know when it's all said and done, the scoreboard is going to be lopsided. And the goalpost is coming down. And the victory party is going to be great. And the trophies are going to be lifted up. And the crowns are going to be put upon my head. Because that's what happens with dynamite power. And that is normal, church. That is not unusual. And when people drive in our parking lot, may they find Christ. So will you stand with me? And right now, across this place, I want to pray for you. If you'll bow your heads, maybe there's someone in here this morning. You've surrendered your living room, but you haven't surrendered anything else. Father God, we give the deed to this house, this temple, my heart. I give you the deed to my house. I give you the driver's license. I don't even want to be behind the wheel. God, I simply just want to be in surrender to you. Here's my life. I'm going to wait for the gift and the promise. If I don't have it, I'm going after it. Father, give me the Holy Spirit. Fill my life as I surrender authority. We go into our world that needs